Hey, Russell Evans here. We're so excited that you've joined us today at Planet Shakers Church. We trust this message will impact and change your life.
Jesus, when he walked the earth, everything Jesus came, when you know, if you look at the Bible and we have the Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus came in the fulfillment of the Old Testament, but actually he was there to represent what heaven would look like, represent what heaven would look like on earth. So everything he does in the New Testament is pertaining to the kingdom of God. Most of his discussion was the kingdom of God. And he was there to demonstrate what a man could do with the kingdom of God in them and with the kingdom of God on them. You know, when you get saved, Jesus comes and lives in you. The king reigns in you. You have the kingdom. But he also comes upon you in Acts chapter 2. They were saved, but they had an encounter with God. He comes upon us so that we can make a difference in the world. And so Jesus, when he was teaching the Lord's Prayer, is teaching there, and he says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So God wants heaven to come to earth, and God's put heaven in you to bring heaven to earth, and he brings heaven upon you so you can do the things of heaven on earth. So Jesus is there, and he's saying, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Now, if we want heaven to come to earth, we've got to look at what heaven is like. In heaven, there's no lack. In heaven, there's joy. In heaven, there's peace. In heaven, there's love. In heaven, there's health. In heaven, there's worship. In heaven, there's freedom. In heaven, there is there's no impossibilities. That's what heaven's like. So when Jesus said, when you pray, let your kingdom come on heaven from heaven and let it come to earth, what is he saying? He's saying, I want to transform the earth to look like heaven. But how many know the devil does not want you to live according to what heaven is like? And so he'll try to put limitations on your life and on my life. And God has never called us to be a life of limited, be limited in our life, to live in limitations. God has called us to live in freedom. One of the greatest things I love about the cross, anyone love the cross? I love the cross. I love the crucifixion on Friday, but I do love Resurrection Sunday. And so, but one of the things I love about the cross is the cross not only represents Jesus took our sin, took our pain, took our shame, took our sickness upon his body, but it also represents, there was this one occasion that happened on the cross that is so significant to you and I in the 21st century. What happened was, the Bible says on the cross, he says, "It is finished, and I commit my spirit unto you." And then when he died, the Bible says the curtain in the temple was rendered or torn from the top to the bottom. It was torn from the top to the bottom so that you and I could have access to the Father directly ourselves. Everyone say, directly myself. So, when man was born and God created man, when God created man out of the dust of the earth, he created man with no limitation. He walked with them in the cool of the evening, walked with them in the garden. There was no limitation to relationship. There was no limitation to how they function. But the Bible says that man sinned, and sin is separation. And so sin created a space or a separation from God. So in the Old Testament, God so much wanted relationship with man, he devised the way that was going to be a setup for what was going to come through Jesus. He devised a way that he could have access to people, and the access to people was through priests. And he devised a place called the Holy of Holies, which had the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, which represented the presence of God. And it had a veil, that veil that I talked about being torn from top to bottom, that was in the tabernacle. And the priest could only go into the tabernacle one time, into the Holy of Holies one time a year. And that was to bring an offering as a high priest on behalf of the people to see their sins forgiven. But every person would hear generally from the high priest, and he would go and minister to God and then minister to people, and he would go on their representative. So there was a veil, there was a limitation in relationship. But thank God for Jesus, because Jesus came and he is our high priest, and the cross saw this 70-foot, 21.5-meter veil that was there as a limitation to our access, torn from top to bottom, so that you and I could live in access to God and not have to go through someone else to have access to God. God has made a way for you and I to have intimacy with him. That's pretty cool. So, but the problem in life is, even though we have access, many times we, through circumstances, we, through the attacks of the enemy, unknowing, re-erect or put veils or limitations that stop us from accessing God. It might be a disappointment that becomes so big that we don't ask God to deal with that disappointment. We might be hurt so much that we don't believe that God can heal our heart. And it becomes a limitation, even though there's not a limitation. In fact, the limitation that was put out of Adam came because man messed up. And man continues to create environments for limitations. But God is limitless and he is unstoppable and he lives in you. The devil tries to put limitations up. Religion tries to put limitations up. Religion says you have to be good to get God's favor. God says, no, no, I'm good, so I'll give you favor. Religion says you have to do these processes to be right with God. God says, no, you just got to ask me. And so religion says you've got to go through somebody to talk to God. God says, no, just talk to me direct. I've made a way where there seems no way. The veil is torn. Everyone say, the veil is torn. So the Bible says in Romans 5:17, it says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus has made a way. The enemy loves erecting limitations. Religion, as I said, loves erecting limitations. Limitations might come from circumstances. Limitations might come through words that have been said over you. I've used this illustration once before. But, you know, a friend of mine went bungee jumping. Anyone been bungee jumping? You're all crazy. That you would get on a elastic rope made up of basically people's underwear. You say, how do you know? Well, underwear, if you don't have the elastic, it falls down. So you're trusting this, right? And some of you are looking, ooh. Just get that religious spirit out of you right now. Amen. Thank you very much. And my friend was going to go bungee jumping, but he looked at the owner who was setting the thing up, and he said, I want to just make sure that the owner is an theorist, that he's actually done it. You know, there's so many theorists in planet Earth that have never done anything. They just write about what everyone else does. Now, I believe that we need some scribes to write about the fruitfulness that are in people's lives, but I'd rather listen to a fruitful person moreover than somebody who writes about someone's fruitfulness. And so he's there and he turns to her and he says, have you ever been bungee jumping? She says, yes. He said, could you tell me the first time you went? Oh yeah, the first time I went, it was weird. He goes, why was it weird? She said, because my mother, who'd been dead for 20 years, who I hadn't seen for 20 years, as they put the bungee cord around my legs, by the way, I just want you to make one thing. When you do bungee jumping, don't lie about your weight. Because they prepare the rope according to your weight. So if you're lying about your weight, you might come back with a headache. So if you're 100 kilos, don't say you're 80, because you might... That's the only place you don't lie about your weight. Lie about it everywhere else and repent, but don't lie there. So... she goes, they put and they count you down. 10, 9, 8, 7. She goes, it's peer pressure. And I'm standing on the edge And my mother, who'd been dead for 20 years, she was a fearful woman. My mother, she, when I was a little kid and I'd run on, get near an edge of something, she'd go, keep away from the edge. Even a small fence that was about this wide, I'd be running on it. She goes, don't, you'll fall off, get away from the edge. She was always putting fear in my life. And she said, so there I was and I was tied up. I couldn't get out of there. And I was having 10, 9. And at the same time, I heard my mother's voice, who had been dead for 20 years. Get away from the edge. Get away. You're going to hurt yourself. Don't, no, don't. 6, get away from the edge. 5, her voice, she was no longer alive, but her voice was still speaking. And some of us have lived in the limitation of voice that is speaking into our past. And when God says, I want you to jump, and you go, oh, no. And you got this dilemma because you've got a limitation before you through someone's word, but you've got a promise about to jump into. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And he goes, what did you do? She goes, I jumped. He said, what happened? She said, my mum's voice disappeared. Some of you are going, I'm going to go bungee jumping. What was happening? She was getting rid of the limitation. The curtain is torn. The limitation of stepping into something new. I'm here to tell you there are things that have set over your life, over your upbringing that might have been good, that propelled you to greatness. But there might be other things that people have said, a disappointment, and they become like a curtain in your life. But I'm here to tell you, I've got good news for you. The curtain is torn. It's torn. God has made a way. So, I better hurry. It says this. So number one, the enemy tries to put limitations on you, but the curtain is torn. There is no limitations. Jesus, when I'm describing this, shouted out again and he released his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple that was 21 meters high, 70 feet, was torn from the top to the bottom. In other words, it wasn't an earthly tear. It was a heavenly tear that rendered the thing that was separating man from accessing God themselves. It was gone now. And now every human being, you and me, don't have to go through a path. Don't have to go through a priest. You and all, I are all priests, and we have all access to God, and we all can go to God directly ourselves. My job is to encourage you to go to God. Our job is to encourage you to see how big He is. Access God. You see, there is no limitations. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. All things through Christ. All things through Christ. You listen to me, Austin. All things through Christ. Come on, Cape Town. All three things through Christ. Come on, Singapore. All things through Christ. Geneva. All things through Christ. Melbourne. All things through Christ. Who strengthens me? That's why we got to be bold. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:16, so let us come boldly. It doesn't say boldly. It says boldly to the throne room of our gracious God, the throne room of grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. Why can I step in boldly? Because I didn't do it. He did it. And I'm coming in Him, not in me. And as I come in Him, I can come boldly and access my dad. I can access Jesus. I can access the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of Jesus' grace towards me. I didn't deserve it, and neither did you. Our works will never meet how great He is. He is so awesome and so powerful, and we can come boldly into His presence. Why? Because the curtain is torn. There is no limitations. Come with confidence, not just come with boldness, come with confidence. Be confident. Nothing worse than an inconfident team. They play the game poorly. But a confident team plays it well. An arrogant team plays it poorly because it thinks it's itself, themselves. They get caught up in themselves. But a confident team, what is a confident? Confident in the person next to you, confident in the coach, confident in the team plan. Well, we've got a coach. His name is God. He's put team players on our team, you and me, and be confident that the God in them, the plan that God has for them, the greatness of God that's in them and in you, and that we can be conquerors. Come with confidence. The Bible says this is the confidence. And we hear, and we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask anything that pleases Him. Is He a good dad?
Yes.
Does He want to bless His children?
Yes.
Does His children get His heart? So you can ask anything that pleases Him. He wants to bless your life. He wants you to be a blessing to other people. He wants to heal you. He wants to use you greatly. He wants you to be used for His kingdom. So you can ask with great confidence. God, I want to see my workplace saved. Ask with confidence. Oh God, I want to be healed. Ask with confidence. Oh God, I want to be blessed to be a blessing. Ask with confidence because He pleases Him. Watch this. It says, and since He hears us when we make our requests, that's what I love about God. I can go to Him directly and He can hear me. I don't have to go, hey, Pastor Russell, could you pray for me so that God can hear? No, my prayer to you should be just this. I'm going to come in agreement with what you've asked, Dad. We're going to have some sibling asking. Dad, he needs it, she needs it, so can you give it to them? Because then it can come to me too. Agreement. He hears us. So we also know He will give what we ask for. Bam, 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 bam. I don't know if that makes you excited. You can give it a little golf clap to that. But He gives what you ask for. That means, God, I need a healing. Okay, cool. I need a breakthrough. Okay, cool. I need this to happen in my life. Okay, cool. He gives. Is there anyone excited about what Jesus can do for you? For this is the confidence. That word confidence means trust, belief, faith, and conviction. 1 Peter 2, 4 to 5 says, coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Talking about Jesus. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Everyone say holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that you're a holy priesthood. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 1 verse 6, it says that we'd be made kings and priests. You say, why is that significant? Because Old Testament, they had to go through a priest. What is a priest? Somebody who ministered to God and then ministered to the people. In the New Testament, the Bible says every believer is a priest. What does that mean? God, you know, God creates pastors and apostles and prophets and all that, but He's given everybody a priestly deal. What does that mean? You and I have access ourselves to minister to God, and in ministering to God, He ministers to us so we can minister to people. Every person is a priest. It isn't anyone that's singled out. Every person is a priest. So what does that mean? As a priest could access God, you can access God. As a priest could deliver ministry to other people, you can deliver ministry. That's why you can be confident of that. And the Bible says we're kings and priests, not just ministers of God, but rulers with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. We are seated with Him. So what does that mean? You have royalty in your spiritual DNA, and you are now somebody who isn't a little ant that is a nobody. No, you are a somebody because God has made you a somebody. He's made you the head and not the tail. He's made you above and not beneath. He says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. He says you're more than a conqueror. He says everywhere your foot treads is your inheritance. He says greater is He that's in you than he that what you face. He has made you royal. That's why you can be confident. So, you can have confidence of being His children. Confident you have access to him as a priest. Confident we have a kingdom of priesthood. Confidence that you are his royalty. And confidence, what confidence does is it releases boldness and courage. So how does confidence come? It comes from knowing. Those that know their God shall do great exploits. Doesn't say those that know about their God, says those that know their God. And the only way to know him, that's why God rendered the curtain torn from top to bottom, because he wants you to know him personally, not through someone else. A teacher is there just to expose you to the truth so you can search them yourself. I remember knowing God. If you said to me, well, you know, Russell, Sam, she doesn't pray at all. You know, she gets up there and leads worship, but she never prays about it. I'll go, you're a liar. They'll go, how do you know? I say, because I live with her and I see her praying all the time. I know her. She's always praying. See, out of my knowing her, I know who she is. And I know what she does. Out of our knowing God, we know who he is and what he does. So that then we're not deceived when people try to trip us up. I remember when I was younger, I used to go out on the streets of Adelaide, just sharing the love of Jesus. It was pretty simple, just talking to people, and there are a lot of lonely people out there. And I remember one night I saw this group, and I knew who this group were, and they were a cult. And they were a Christian cult, but they were a cult. And I was there with a pretty young Christian, and he's wanting to witness everyone, and he didn't. He goes, I'm going to go over to them. I said, no, just leave them alone. He goes, no, I'm going to go over. So he goes over and he starts witnessing them. They say, oh, no, we're Christians. They're like, okay, cool. He's like, cool. And then they begin to talk. And he goes, what church you go to? He tells them. He goes, oh, you better watch out from that church. And they're like, he's like, why? And I come over at this time. He goes, why? He goes, well, they don't tell you this, but the higher you get up and you know what's going on, their pastor, Pastor Andrew, he's an alcoholic. And there's a secret bar in that church, and he goes and drinks. And they do it, but don't tell anyone. That's what cults do. They say, don't tell anyone. Come to our Bible college, Bible study, but don't tell anyone. That's a cult. You know what you should do? Tell everyone. That's what you should do. And here's the deal. We got to be transparent at Christians. Not God doesn't say, hide your light. He says, expose your light. So there they are, and they go, and I said, that's a load of rubbish. And they go, you just wouldn't know that. I said, no, I would. They said, no, you wouldn't know it. You don't know Andrew. And I said, no, I would know it. They said, well, no, you're on the lower end. Once you get up the top end, you'll see drink, they're alcoholic. I said, I was actually quite mad by this time. I said, you're an idiot. An idiot. But then I repented for saying that afterwards. But they said, what do you mean? They said, you wouldn't know. You've been sucked in. He's an alcoholic. I said, no, he's not. You don't know. I said, yes, I do. They said, how do you know? I said, because I'm your son. And he doesn't drink at all. In fact, if I drank, I would be ministered to. He doesn't drink at all. There is no bar. There's a kitchen. We're going now. See, what has happened there is because I know my dad and I know who he is, they couldn't move me off who he was. Why? Because I have a relationship with him. So when you get a storm in your life and the enemy, the devil, comes and lies to you and says, God doesn't love you. Oh, no, he does. Oh, no, if you only knew what he really thought about you. Oh, no, he is. See, God, because I knew my dad, I knew his character. And you see, what gives you confidence is when you know God and you're a priest of him, you can be confident the veil's been torn. And you can be confident of everything he has. But if you had to go through someone else to get that information only, you would have limited information. Isn't it amazing? The devil didn't go to Adam and said, did God say? He went to Eve, because God didn't tell Eve, he told Adam, and Adam told Eve. And that was the setup for attack, secondhand revelation. You need your firsthand revelation, and God has made a way where you can access. And that's why you need people in your life. And you know, you should always go and check out in the Word of God what people say. Just don't watch a podcast and go, well, that sounds good. There's a lot of good articulate people, but get what the Word says. And get ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word. How are we going? I better hurry. Is this good? That's good. I needed some encouragement. Our confidence comes from God. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and the Lord who is Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glory in image. And before it says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. So obviously the glory of the Lord in me is reflected in what I see in Him. So if I have a veil, if I have a limitation of who He is, my reflection of Him will be limited. But if the veil is removed and I get to know Him and get to see how He moves and operates, then I know who He is and I reflect who He is. Our confidence comes from knowing God. Then we act. Everyone say act. On the knowledge or the revelation of who He is and who He is in us. That's why you need to understand who you are in Christ, not just understand how great God is, understand how great God is in you. In you, the Bible says Christ in you. In you, you. And some of you who are about to get saved. You. The hope of glory in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. So in you there is greatness, because Jesus is in you. And if Jesus is in you, you are unstoppable. If Jesus is, so if you're unstoppable, act and do. Just don't have a knowledge of God, act on that knowledge. So don't just experience the love of God, share the love of God. Just don't live in the blessing of God, share it, sow it. Give your gifts, talents to see people's lives further for God. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What am I dying to? My flesh. But what am I coming alive to? The Christ in me. So if I understand who He is, I know who He is, then I can operate in who He is in me. So it's no longer me walking by myself as I stand on this platform. It's Jesus in me. It's the Holy Spirit on me. And I'm not functioning in the talent of Russell's mouth, because that is limited. I'm operating in who Christ is in me. And the Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it gets right into your very heart. And it's not the word of Russell, but it's the Word of God getting in. And He says, don't you understand who you are? There is greatness in you, because I'm in you. And when you understand who I am and who you are in me, you are unstoppable. Act. There's a lot of people that pray for a revival and God says, be it. Because they have the knowledge, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. God, would you move? He goes, okay, take a step. No, I want you to move. He goes, yes, I'm in you, so I'm moving with you. Yeah, I'm just giving you the directions, what step to take. Now go to the right a little bit. So we've got to be people of action. James says, faith without works is dead. So you can believe, but if you don't act on it, how do you know it's real? How do you know it? Yes, we believe God can heal, but you never pray for anyone. How do you know that He can heal? It's just a theory to you. It's the action that proves the theory. It's like an engineer designs a bridge and says, you'll be okay to go over on it. And you're like, yeah, okay, cool. You'll be okay. And you go, well, can you get on a bus and drive over there just to check it out for us? oh no, you do it first, you'll be okay. And they never go on the bridge. Don't ever go on that bridge. But if they get on and drive that truck, yeah, it's all good. Or that bus, you go, oh no, no, his theory is more than just a theory. There's action behind his theory. He hasn't just got faith, he's got faith with action. And it brings freedom.
We're so blessed that you joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you at church@planetshakers.com on an email or on any social media platform. Connect with us and we want to pray for you and believing the best for you. And we'll see you next week. Don't miss out. God bless you.